In Scotland, when friends get together, they blether. When these three friends happen to be Scottish Blue Badge tourist guides, you can be sure that the country that they're so passionate about will be right at the heart of their discussions. Be it contemporary or historical, culinary or cultural, reminiscence or anecdote, from accommodation to zoos, the chat will range right across the entire alphabet of topics and issues that are live and happening in Scotland right now. We hope that you'll join us. There's nothing to beat a richt good blether.
And you could also join in our blethers on social media. You can find us as at Scottish Blethers on both Facebook and Instagram. We post additional content during the week that supports the podcast episode.
We love making the podcast and would love it if you could share them with your friends and leave a review on the platform of your choice.
Hello and welcome to episode 59 of Scottish Blethers. I'm Liz Lister.
And I'm Helen Houston.
And this week, the eyes of the world are on Scotland, because in Glasgow, starting from today, we have the 26th UN Climate Change Conference, better known as COP26, where hopefully the leaders of the world, or at least those that have attended, will be there to get together to think seriously that the clock is ticking, we're getting near to the final hour, and we have to have some resolutions to the challenges that we face with regards to the climate. So we thought that we would take that as our theme for this week. We're not going to go in to address climate change. That would be a whole different episode. But what we did think we would take is public art, because this week, in line with COP26, all over Glasgow, we've got several new pieces of public art which have appeared. And that's made us reflect on just what a wealth of art Glasgow has. And so just to give you an insight into some of it. So, Helen, have you noticed any of these new pieces of public art appearing?
Yes, there have been one or two, Liz. And one that I thought was a really good one, it's really on a building and it's called Indestructible Language. And basically all it is the word spelt out or the sentence spelt out. It says, "It is green, thinks nature, even in the dark." And that is lit up by 100% renewable energy and it's lead-free illuminated letters. And it looks fantastic seeing all over the city.
Yes, because of course art really brings it to the public's attention. And it's interesting that from all over the world, people are sponsoring these pieces of art. For example, that one, Helen, I don't know if you know, but part of the sponsorship is coming from a turtle conservation charity in California. So, you know, the whole world is really focused on Glasgow. And it's about, you know, really amplifying the fact that everybody needs to take responsibility and commit to thinking about what they do in response to climate change. Another one that's very simple like that, I don't know if you've noticed that all over there's flags and banners all the way along the side of the River Clyde. And they've got the words emblazoned on them, sun, sea, air and clean power. And they're trying to highlight that we need to support the international drive to bring down our carbon dioxide emissions to net zero by 2050. That's the theme of this conference.
And what I thought was fascinating about that, Liz, is that the flags are made from recycled ocean plastic. We hear so much about the plastic in the ocean that this is a way of using up some of it.
Yeah, there's certainly plenty of it around. And then they've got these giant flags. So there's 40 of them all the way along the side of the Clyde. But just three of what are called the Hope Sculptures by a man called Stuart Padwick. And these are three large-scale structures which are scattered around. And again, they're echoing the past. They're high, slender columns and they're echoing the brick chimney stocks that you used to find in the East End, now all gone, now being brought down. But again, highlighting the imperative of ongoing climate crisis.
Yes, and of course, some of them were made with the help of somebody we mentioned, a poet we mentioned a couple of episodes ago, Jackie Kay.
Yep, important messages attached to them. Yeah, Jackie Kay, I've posted up Grandpa Soup, which is one of my favourites. Also, some of our listeners may have heard of Dougie Bain, the book that won all the prizes last year, and the author of the book, Douglas Stewart. He's another one that's contributed a little poem.
I mean, they're really amazing, all these things that are going up. But the one I think, of course, I haven't seen it yet, but I'd love to see it, is The Salmon School by Joseph Rossano. And that is 350 mirrored glass-blown forms. And they are going to be right in the heart of the conference centre, COP26. So reflects the just healthy living on Earth. Cold, clean water, critical for salmon survival.
Yeah, of course, that's a big thing for Scotland, but for the Pacific Northwest as well. And many of the pieces were made across there. You know, that the warmer the water gets, the fewer salmon that we're going to have. And it's interesting, and I don't think we'll see it right at the heart of COP26, but it's going on display all over the world. And it's actually going to the Museum of Glass in Tacoma, Washington. So for our listeners from over there in the States, you might have the opportunity to see this salmon school as well.
I just think, Liz, they're very brave putting things like that on the road, because the packing up and the unpacking must be so nerve-wracking.
Let's hope they don't encounter any storms on the way. No, yeah. Let's get climate control under
hand.
But I think maybe one of the favourites of our listeners would be Clarion, because I think Clarion really brings the message home.
Yes, and that's a 10-foot-high polar bear that is being carried from Shropshire in England up to Scotland for COP26. Just again sending the message that, you know, these polar bears, beautiful, beautiful creatures, are so endangered.
Yeah, this is one by Bamber Hawes, and he's literally carrying it. It's only made from bamboo and willow and layers of tissue paper, but it's so visual that it really does get the message home. Their environment is being threatened. We're in danger of losing these magnificent beasts. So it's a good example of how art can take a message to the public. And of course, that's been going on in Glasgow for centuries. Glasgow's just so well blessed with public art.
Oh, yes. And I think really we've become to appreciate it and probably even notice it more really since about 2014, although it was going on before that. But for the Commonwealth Games, quite a number of the big street artists really came into their own. But I think my favourite, Liz, is the St Mungo. The huge gable end covered with St Mungo, this modern day image of the patron saint of Glasgow.
Of course, it's really bringing it right up to date. But anybody who visits Glasgow can't miss St Mungo, because the street art, the public art, is everywhere. St Mungo, or St Kentigern, is the patron saint of Glasgow, and so is celebrated all over the place, whether it's on the bus shelters or the coats of arms on different buildings, the lampposts, everywhere you'll see the symbol of Glasgow, which celebrates the miracles that St Mungo was supposed to have carried out. The bird that never flew, the tree that never grew, the bell that never rang, the fish that never swam. So one of these days we'll talk you through these miracles. But certainly, yeah, watch out for St Mungo and his miracles. And also some of the oldest architecture.
Yes, yes. That's a beautiful statue of St Mungo at Kelvin Grove, which is just absolutely beautiful. And again, it's just this big, larger-than-life statue of St Mungo. So the contrast between the modern-day street art and the statue is fantastic, but both equally loved.
You're absolutely right. And if you go along to the cathedral end of Glasgow, then if you visit the cathedral, you'll see lots of these images of St Mungo. But if you go into Province Lordship, which is the oldest building in Glasgow, you'll also see some of the oldest street art, which is known as the Taunton Heads. Now, Taunton was a form of investment. And if the investor died, his share was divided amongst the other investors. And that harks back to the days when Glasgow was really at its heyday. After the Treaty of Union in 1707, then Scotland got the opportunity to trade through English colonies, particularly the Americas. And of course, with Glasgow being on the west coast, it was the most advantageous site in Britain. And so trade of tobacco, cotton, sugar made Glasgow really rich. And some of these merchants wanted to display their wealth. They displayed it in their fashion, but they also displayed it in where they went to drink their coffee. And that was in the Taunton Hotel, which was where the above it was the exchange for the sugar dealers. And so they decorated this with what were known as the Taunton Heads.
And they're quite bizarre. The last time I saw them in Province Lordship, I just thought, they are really quite bizarre. They're almost, you can't help but look at them, Liz. But you think, they're quite scary in places, aren't they?
They are. Some of them are green men, which is, of course, the ancient fertility symbol. And Glasgow, one of the names that Mungo gave it was Deer Green Place. So, you know, this is celebrating Glasgow Green, you know, the greenery, which is still there in its parks.
The other thing that I find fascinating, and you mentioned it, that the most advantageous place in the whole of Britain to trade from, that in these days of very fast travel, to think that by taking your ships from America into Glasgow, you cut 2 weeks from the journey. We can't comprehend that. And so you can understand why Glasgow and these Glasgow merchants became so rich.
Yeah, and wanted to display it. But the downside of that, of course, is something that the city is very much coming to terms with today. And that was that all of this wealth was built on the back of slavery. And so one of the heads is of a Native American with the headdress. And that was the advertising slogan for American tobacco. It was a symbol of quality, the fact that it was coming from North America. And in the background, you've got slaves putting tobacco into hogshead barrels and one sheltering a master with an umbrella. So there couldn't be a clearer message. And of course, nowadays, that is pointed out and the injustice of that, you know, people are made aware, not just of the wealth of Glasgow, but how that wealth was achieved.
And I think it's very good that that kind of history lesson is there. And although the heads, to me, are not terribly attractive, they are sending a huge message and telling the world just how we built all this up.
Yeah, another example of public art, educating people, not just aesthetically, but a message to take as well.
And the other thing that I think in education is that we mentioned, you know, all these things to do with the merchants, but we have the Mercat Cross in Glasgow. And the Mercat Cross, the one that's there now, is not the original. The one that's there now only went up in the early 1900s. But the interesting thing about it is that it was designed by Edith Burnett Hughes, who was considered to be Britain's first practicing woman architect. And she'd established her studio in 1920. So I think that's worth a mention, you know, that we now, you know, in the 1920s, we were having women in what was a very male-dominated profession, architecture.
Superb, yeah. And of course, our architecture is a very important part of the public art. Yeah, so of course, we've got these merchants, but it wasn't just all about the merchants. I mean, the population of Glasgow basically fell into two groups, the merchants and the craftsmen. And in 1605, there was what was called a Letter of Guildry, which registered the roles and organisations of both these groups. And then, of course, they both got public buildings and they decorated these public buildings. So to commemorate the 400th anniversary of the signing of this Letter of Guildry, there was a contemporary sculpture produced called the Glasgow Bouquet, by a sculptor called Doug Crocker, and that was brought to the city in 2005.
I think it's a lovely example of Glasgow humour. They knew they had to celebrate with something, and normally people celebrate with bouquets of flowers, but Doug Crocker decided that it would be a bouquet of tools, the tradesman's tools, the craftsman's tools. So it's in a beautiful wicker styled basket, although it's in bronze, but it's a wicker style basket as a bouquet of flowers might be, and then just all these craftsman's tools sticking out of it like stems of flowers. I love it.
Brilliant. And again, thought provoking, which is what it's all about. And of course, the merchants didn't miss out. And one of my favourites is the ship that's perched on the globe on top of the merchant's house right in George Square in Glasgow. And this was a new merchant's hall that was built and opened in the Victorian era in 1874. And right at the top of it, they put this beautiful sculpture to commemorate the fact that Glasgow's prosperity was based on its sea trade.
Yeah, and what's good about it, and I suppose this is because we're going to have all these people for COP26, it was taken down just during the course of the year and completely cleaned, and it's been replaced and it looks just fantastic. So it's really up there, shining out now again.
And at one time, the whole of the skyline of Glasgow would be dominated by these weather vanes. Most of them fallen off now. There's not so many of them. There are a few. If you go around Glasgow, you can spot these beautiful weather vanes on the tops of buildings.
And of course, the weather vanes were very important because one of the great big sort of economic factors of Glasgow was the River Clyde and the ships that came up and down the River Clyde, bringing goods and importing and exporting. So the weather vanes were essential. So, and the sign of quality was Clyde built, built on the Clyde, because shipbuilding became a huge industry.
Absolutely. I mean, they reckon it started as early as the 15th century, but by the 20th century, there were over 200 separate yards spread out over the banks of the Clyde. Everything from cruise liners, warships, yachts, even submarines getting built on the Clyde. As you say, Clyde built was a mark of quality.
And of course, now that's almost gone, but we're getting a whole new set of things to be proud of along the River Clyde in the work of arts, the type of art. And one of the greatest work of arts, I think, is the Riverside Museum, which was designed by Zaha Hadid. She has got the most wonderful design there, just reflecting the tide, the waves of the Clyde. And it sits there alongside the Glen Lee, which is an old UK's only floating Clyde-built sailing ship that's left. Just a beautiful piece of art, all of them. And of course, the Riverside Museum is a transport museum.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, we had over 200 shipyards there, but almost all gone now. And so the area along the Clyde, Greenock, Port Glasgow, it became a derelict area. And in recent decades, huge investment in restoring this area, regenerating it. And what better to commemorate your past than to put in sculptures and pieces of art all the way along it, which hark back and give people of today an image of what went on there before. And no more so than one by a sculptor called Malcolm Robertson, which is called Men of the Clyde. And it's located in Clyde Square at Greenock. And it's three men pulling a propeller. And it's absolutely fabulous because it's a tribute to the long gone shipyards and the thousands of men that worked in them. But it's the expressions on the faces of the men. You know, that this takes huge strength and willpower to heave this huge propeller into position long before the machinery was there to do it. It was down to the workhorse, which was the men of the Clyde.
Yes, and I just love that. Like you, Liz, their facial expressions just say it all. You could just look at it for a long, long time. It just speaks volumes. And of course, the other sculpture that's you know, along that way is the one that's called Change by Jepsum Robb. And that was 2009 it went in place. And it's like two giant links of a chain. Again, just telling us the chain, the noise, everything that went on in these shipyards along the Clyde.
Yeah, he's quite an exceptional sculptor. He takes on a huge range of different things, from furniture to public art, but he also does a lot of temporary art installations. So when he was walking to work one day through Pollock Shields, he saw all these pillars of the piles that would be going into the foundation of a new building. And so he got permission and he adorned them with red dots and turned the building site into an art installation until they put the building up. So it's fabulous that all over you can not only have the permanent structures, but these pop-up art displays.
And what's good, Liz, that in a place like Glasgow, the powers that be are so willing to be flexible and ready to allow these artists to just try something different.
Yeah, because I think they recognise that it's not just the residents that are there. You know, it brightens up their lives and gives them something to talk about. But art is one of the things that draws lots of visitors to Glasgow as well. And another one that's still on the topic of the shipbuilding is Endeavour by Malcolm Robertson. And it's, I don't really know why it's there. Do you know why it's there? What it is it's a series of curved steel representing a ship's hull, and it's in the colours of the Cunard liner. So it's still the shipbuilding, but it looks as if it's like a kind of, has it got a function as well as being a sculpture, Helen?
I don't think it has. It just is sitting there, as if it's about to be launched right onto the river. Nowadays it's a little bit back from the river because of the change of use of land, etc. But 120 Cunarders have been launched on the Clyde since 1839. And of course, Endeavour is in the colours of Cunard, that kind of navy and red. And again, North Sea oil, a more modern industry, which were, difficult to talk about in COP26. But North Sea oil, it was the research that was done for the platforms and the paint allowed us to get the paint for Endeavour that will last. It won't peel in the weather, as they did for the Forth Bridge as well.
Yeah, it always looks to me as if it's some kind of gate that closes over and shuts something off. It looks as if it should be functional.
Yeah, but I think it's just you get the feeling of the sleekness of these Cunard liners just gliding through the water.
And, Rick, bringing it right to COP26, another of the sculptures, Kelvin Grove Art Gallery, it's called The Vital Spark, George Wiley. Now, these were little Clyde puffers, and these are much loved. They were really the work of the Clyde. They were little steamboats, very flat bottoms. So that meant that they could get up into remote settlements. So they were used really all round the West Coast and the Hebrides of Scotland. And of course, they were made famous by the stories of Neil Munro and Para Handy and the Vital Spark.
Yeah, I love these stories. If any of our listeners, I'm sure you'll find them on YouTube. You'll find something on YouTube of Para Handy. So look it up. It's wonderful.
Made it to television series, and I can remember watching them in my youth, the Para Handy series. So definitely worth a look on YouTube.
And it is black and white. but the sort of cargoes that they chose was, or that they carried, were things like coal, furniture, farm produce, gravel, just big bulky stuff. Nothing very sophisticated or that you felt was elegant. It was just, they were just workhorses.
They were, and it brings it right up to date, because in 2002, George Wiley, the sculptor, actually wrote to the Glasgow Herald, and he was saying that they could make much more use of these little puffers for transporting people and goods. Take the freight off the roads, put it onto these. The Clyde was empty now. When in the past there was hundreds of them chucking up and down along the Clyde. So take it off, use the waterway and ease the congestion on the road. So that's exactly the message that we're getting now at COP26.
Yeah, and hopefully, Liz, that something will come out, some action will come from COP26 in that respect.
Exactly. And George Wiley, again, with this theme that's going through, George Wiley signed himself a sculptor with, instead of the L, a question mark in the middle of it. And when you look at the Clyde today, one of the biggest pieces of public art now is the Finiston crane, very functional in its day, but now it's no longer operational, and it's retained just as a symbol of the city's engineering heritage. And at one point, Wiley made a straw locomotive at the actual locomotive works at Springburn, where these locomotives had once been made.
Yes, and there's no way the delegates at COP26 will miss the Finiston crane, because it's right on their doorstep where they're meeting. It's right there.
Yeah. So this locomotive that George Wiley constructed from straw, they suspended it from the crane and set fire to it so that it burned until it was down to the metal framework underneath. And that was sending out a message that this is where not only the ships were built, but also steam locomotives that were sent all over the world.
Yes, and George Wiley had a, he put a question mark in his signature sculpture, but actually he was a very, very clever and creative man, and with a big sense of humour, a real Glasgow sense of humour, because some of his other works are things like the Clyde clock, which is really basically a clock on legs running. So it's, you're running out of time, and very cleverly placed at the Buchanan bus station. So look at the clock, run, because you're running out of time.
And another one of his, which is again humorous, is the Monument to Maternity, which stands just beside Strathclyde University at what used to be the Rotten Row Maternity Hospital. And so you've got a giant nappy pin there with a bird on the top, reminding us that most of the sculptures in Glasgow are covered by pigeons and pigeon droppings. But this was opened in 2004. And although the original maternity hospital is demolished, the archway still remains. And this metal sculpture sits beside it. And it's a memory too, that the story goes that when the women were in Rotten Row Maternity Hospital and they were going a wee bit over their time, they used to get them out and walk the pregnant women up and down the steep hill outside Queen Street Station to stimulate labour. And I'm told it worked.
Well, I suppose something's got to happen, hasn't it?
Hot curry or something like that, and over the cobbles of Edinburgh. I think that's other techniques that have been used in the past as well.
But regeneration is the big thing in Glasgow nowadays, isn't it? And because all the heavy industry has gone, and probably, you know, a lot of it would have gone, that some of the decisions being made at COP26 would have, if there had been the heavy industry, would have affected them. So we're now getting a huge regeneration going on along the Clyde and the sites where there had been the heavy industry. And one of my favourite sculptures is Andy Scott. And he's famous for, I think our listeners might know about the Kelpies. That's one of his works of art. And the one in Glasgow is called Rise, or one of them is called Rise. And basically, it's a 19-foot statue of a woman. And she's got her arms outstretched. But if you look closely, the arms are actually look like the propeller of a ship. So she's, again, rise like Phoenix rising from the ashes of the dockyards and all the sort of stores and buildings that went alongside the shipbuilding.
Yeah, no, you said Andy Scott, one of our most prolific and successful sculptors, but another of these is Kenny Hunter. And there's lots of pieces of his work that have recently been installed. And perhaps one of the best is Elephant. And this is a life-size elephant made out of bronze, but it's going back to Glasgow's role as the workshop of the world, the beast of burden, but also the connection with many countries across the world, South Asia, Africa, where the steam locomotives that were made in the area of Glasgow were sent. And now some of the pieces, the redundant scrap metal, the recycled pieces of these locomotives, have been brought back to Glasgow and they've been recast to make this elephant.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful beast. It doesn't have any decoration on it at all. It's just got the odd rivet. And it's an Indian elephant. It's a bit, quite small ears, but it's just beautiful. And the story behind, as you say, the recycled metal from the locomotives coming back to their place of birth is fantastic.
Yeah, that's one of the signature marks of Kenny Hunter, that he uses both contemporary and traditional, so it looks as if it's actually, you know, carved from stone or whatever. It's so smooth. That's one of the features of his work. Some of the other pieces of work outside the Tron Theatre in Glasgow, we've got the Cherub and Skull, which is a pair of bronze sculptures, and they celebrate the fact that the Tron Theatre was a place of worship because it was a church when it was built in 1529 before it became a theatre. So you've got the skull and the cherub celebrating birth and death and all that goes in between.
Yes, and the skull, you can walk past it and not see it because it's actually quite high up in a little niche that's been created on the building for this skull. And it's, you know, when you see it, it kind of takes your breath away because it is just looks as if it's almost in marble. It's so smooth.
And some of his, not in Glasgow, but some of his work, which again looks as if it's just busts of marble. He did one of Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky and also Osama bin Laden for the Scottish National Portrait Gallery. So, his work is he likes to see it as challenging and thought-provoking, no more so than Citizen Firefighter, which is another of his outside Central Station in Glasgow. And it's a tribute to all the firefighters, past and present, who served in Glasgow.
Yes, and there have been tragedies as well in the firefighting, as in all cities, and this just marks that. It's he's almost faceless, the firefighter, just the breathing mask on his face.
And the pool of water at his feet, yeah. And after 9/11, this became a focal point in Glasgow for tribute to the firefighters who died in New York. So it became, again, a thought-provoking piece. And quite different from all the Victorian types of public art that we see across the city. But through it all, I think one of the features of it is humour. So even the big serious statue of the Duke of Wellington, a Victorian statue erected in tribute to Arthur Wellesley, 1st Duke of Wellington, but you never ever see it these days without a traffic cone on its head.
Yes, and I love that. I have to say, Liz, I get a little bit annoyed at the numbers of traffic cones that are appearing in other cities on statues' heads, because it's the Duke of Wellington that wears a traffic cone, not David Hume in Edinburgh or something. I think when I walked past David Hume in Edinburgh, he had about 6 or 8 traffic cones adorning his person on his statue. So it's the Duke of Wellington who has the traffic cone, no other statue.
It's an iconic symbol of Glasgow. And the 2011 Lonely Planet guide said that it was one of the top 10 most bizarre monuments on Earth. Typical of Glasgow humour.
Yes, and they did try to lift the plinth so that you couldn't get up to put the hat on, but the people of Glasgow spoke out and the statue remains at its same height.
Yeah, power to the people. And of course, the Duke of Wellington is a 4-legged equestrian statue, but we also have the only 2-legged equestrian statue in the world, because we have a statue of the cartoon characters created by Bud Neil, who wrote for one of the Glasgow news, who did the cartoons for one of the Glasgow newspapers. And one of his characters was Lobby Dosser. And he was the sheriff of Calton Creek, taking in his arch enemy Rank Badgin on his horse El Fideldo, or Elfie, which only had 2 legs. So typical again of Glasgow humour, but a claim to fame, only 2-legged equestrian statue.
And I think perhaps the name Lobby Dosser, requires a little bit of explanation. A lobby is the entranceway, the close that went into tenement flats. And a dosser is somebody who sleeps in the close. So Lobby Dosser, it sounds like a very grand name, but actually it means he's a homeless person sleeping in the close.
Yeah, so a parody on the Wild West, bringing it right up to Partick. And another one is G.I. Bride, which is another of the statues referring to Bud Neil. Yep, so plenty of Glasgow humour.
Yes, and I think, Liz, we can't leave Glasgow without even mentioning the alumni gates that went up on Glasgow University in 1951, celebrating 500 years since the founding of the university in 1451. And these were, you know, just commemorating the significant, some of very, really very few of the significant people who have are alumni of the university. But they're beautiful gates and you can just stand there looking and trying to think who all these people are.
Yeah, because of course the slogan is people make Glasgow, and Glasgow likes to celebrate its own. Unfortunately, to date, it's largely been sons of Glasgow, not too many daughters of Glasgow. And we've got one on Glasgow Green where we've got James Watt, who of course modernised the steam engine and transformed it. So we have a stone there where, as he was walking past Glasgow Green one Sunday, he had his eureka moment when he thought how he would improve the steam engine. But we do have one female, La Passionaria. I know she's a favourite of yours. You've mentioned her before on Scottish Blethers, Helen.
Yes, she is. Now, forgive my Spanish pronunciation, but she's Isadora Dolores Ibaruri. She actually was a leader during the Spanish Civil War, 1936 to 1939. She had a worldwide following. She was a very strong woman, and she known for her famous slogan, "They shall not pass." And that was during the Battle of Madrid in 1936 that she used that for the first time.
So leading the way in terms of females being represented in public art, but two of the most recent ones to go up are both sons of Glasgow. First of all, we've got Charles Rennie Mackintosh, another one by Andy Scott. He's one of our most famous artists, of course, famous for the Glasgow School of Art and lots of other work, the tea rooms that we've talked about before in Glasgow.
And the House of the Art Lover, which is his designs, award-winning designs, that had never been built until the 1990s, when the city architect decided, we're going to give this a try. And they did, and it's absolutely stunning. And that's where you'll find the elephant, beside the House for the Art Lover.
And then a much-loved figure more recent times, Donald Dewar, who was the first minister. And he stands outside the concert hall, the Royal Concert Hall at the top of Buchanan Street. And he's a right Dewar Scotsman.
Yes, and I think I love there's another picture of him. I think during the winter one year, somebody decided that Donald Dewar looked a bit cold. His statue looked a bit cold. So they put a lovely tartan tulle bonnet on him, a tartan woolly hat and a tartan scarf. And, you know, this real Scots Dewar looking serious face with the tartan tammy and the scarf is fantastic. But the other thing, we talked about Charles Rennie Mackintosh, but there's a beautiful street art of his as well that went up to celebrate the 150th anniversary of his birth.
Yeah, we've got art that appears just every year. We get something new appearing. And this year we got on the wall outside St. Roloch's Church in Sight Hill, we've got 77 crosses made out of concrete. But they're there because they're celebrating the diversity of the people in the church's congregation. So crosses of all kinds. We've got the Iona cross, the Celtic cross, the St. Andrew's cross, the Manx cross from the Isle of Man, just celebrating all over the world. And it's got a particularly strong reputation in welcoming refugees into this community.
Yes, and talking with that sort of range of diversity, Liz, there's a beautiful piece of street art on the gable end of one of the houses on Maryhill Road. And it just is a bunch of children all playing together, and they're all from different ethnic backgrounds. And again, it just so Glasgow. That bit of street art has been up for some time with all these children playing together.
Yeah, and this brings us right bang up to date, because of course anybody coming to Glasgow now, if you're visiting the city, what you'll probably do is the mural trail. And this is a series of street murals which have been used to rejuvenate areas and buildings that were looking a bit tired and falling into disrepair. And they are absolutely fabulous.
Yes, and there's two or three main artists, but there's more coming to it all the time. And one of them is called Smug. He signs it Smug or Smug One, S-M-U-G, one or just Smug. And his real name is Sam Bates. He's in fact an Australian, but he has been living in Glasgow for some time now. And he's sort of photorealism. He brings photographs to life. And, you know, some of his sculptures, you just cannot believe they're done with spray paint. They're unbelievable.
That's it, just the spray can on its own. So some of them that you can look out for, going back to the days of St. Mungo, we have one of St. Mungo with the robin, and then we have his mother, St. Enoch, with the child. And then we also have one called Fellow Glasgow Residents, where you actually think that all of the animals that you've found round about the parks and green spaces are coming out of the wall. It's so real what he's painted onto the wall there.
He's got a wonderful, as you say, a 3D effect. You just feel that they're peeking through the wall, but it's a flat wall. Put your hand on it, it's all flat.
It is. And of course, you mentioned earlier, Helen, that there was a series of these street murals created to celebrate when the Commonwealth Games came to Glasgow in 2014. So the swimmer at the traffic lights has everybody's attention. And that was Smug's work as well.
And under the bridges, and, you know, the badminton player, the hockey player, just terrific action shots.
And of course, one of the great sons of Glasgow, Billy Connolly. And there are two murals which have been created to celebrate one of Glasgow's most famous sons.
Yes, he's, you know, for his 75th birthday, I don't know who commissioned, but BBC certainly did the programme of three painters painting Billy Connolly in their own style, and they've now been put onto the gable ends around Glasgow, and they're fantastic. Each with a bit of humour, Jack Vetriano, Jack Byrne, and Rachel, a very modern artist, is one of the other ones.
Yeah, I think they're the work of Rogue One, aren't they? Another of the, like Smug, another of the artists who's been most prolific in Glasgow. And of course, the other one is Klingatron.
Yes, who's now changing his name back to his own name. Is it James Klinger? He's now his work is almost a fine work, isn't it? It's very art. His Women in Black is series of three women in black are beautiful, beautiful pictures or photos of these very beautiful women dressed in black. They're lovely.
Yeah, and I think he's where Smug is photorealism. He takes it a stage further to hyperrealism, Glasgow Crocodile. So yeah, they've all got their own styles and interpretation. And a lot of them now are collaborating.
I think under the name Art Pistol. If you see Art Pistol, that's sometimes a collaboration of other art, Egic and Rogue One. One of my favourites is the Strathclyde University, the Wonder Wall at Strathclyde University, and all the artwork that went up there, again in 2014, to celebrate the 50 years since Strathclyde, or the Anderson Institute, which started in the late 1700s and then evolved into a university in 1964. And in 2014, they commissioned quite a bit of street art to adorn their buildings. And one of them is the Place of Useful Learning, which John Anderson, who started the technical college in the late 1700s, he was wanting to found a place of useful learning. And they've got all the alumni there. And I think in this today, Liz, that one of the alumni which is most relevant is the James Blythe, who is there on the Wonder Wall at Strathclyde. And he was a Scottish electrical engineer at the college. But he was a pioneer in the field of electricity generation through wind power. Now, how often do we hear of wind power nowadays? And he built a wind turbine to power his own house at Marykirk in Scotland. And then he created a generator from wind power, which was the standby generator for Montrose Hospital for many years. But he was told that wind power was not economically sound when he took it to the powers that be. I wonder what they'd say now.
Yeah, well, we've certainly brought it full circle, right back round. I don't know about wind power, but there's certainly a lot of hot air comes out of Scottish Blethers, but I hope people are enjoying it. We'll follow up as usual on social media with some images. But if anybody's interested, Helen has done a virtual tour of the story of Glasgow through its public art. So if anybody wanted information about that, then just contact us, as always, on social media or at our web on our email at scottishblatherspodcast@gmail.com. And you can get further information on that. So, Helen, that was really interesting, as always. But word of the week. Have you got a word of the week?
I have, Liz. I've got a word of the week called, and it's collishanky, which is collishanky, collishanky. And that means squabble or a brawl. Now, I'm hoping COP26 actually comes out with some positive action points through good discussion and doesn't develop into a collishanky.
Right, or another word for a collishanky, a stramash.
Or stramash, yes.
That's another one. But a good old chinwag and an opportunity for them to hopefully, at the end of it, not just talk, but actually take some action. So let's hope Glasgow goes down in history, not just for its public art, but for important decisions that are taken at this vital conference. So that's it from me.
And from me. And we'll see you again. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
And there we have it, the end of another episode of Scottish Blethers. If you'd like to join us on social media, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram as @ScottishBlethers. And if you'd like to leave a review, please do so on your podcast platform of choice. It's cheery bye from me.
Ta-ta the loo from me. And if I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the windy from me.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.